Hello and welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, is it a bad look for Ezekiel Elliott to admit he'd like to win the rushing title? Plus, Greg Jennings says Tom Brady might be starting to look his age, but that's no reason to panic. And why is Phil Jackson showing up at Lakers practice? Skip Shannon, let's get to it.
We're going to go back to the Cowboys because, speaking of winning, they have won five straight, and a big reason why, Ezekiel Elliott. He's rushed for over 100 yards in four of the last five games to take the league lead. Zeke won the rushing title as a rookie and yesterday was asked about winning it again. Take a listen.
I would say that important to me. I mean, yeah, it would be cool, but I mean, I want to go out here and win ball games. You know, I want to make a run deep into the playoffs. I want to have an opportunity to compete for a Super Bowl. So, I mean, we're just going to, you know what I mean, keep working. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. You got to let things like that, you know, handle themselves and things will work out.
Okay, Shannon.
Yep.
Do you like Zeke saying this?
I don't. I want wide receivers. I want running backs to take a page out of quarterback's book. Mm. Because they care about numbers also. They care about touchdown passes. They care about passing yards. But they always put the team goals first, number second. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it seems like they're a team player. See, what Zeke should have said is that what's important is us securing the NFC East, and we still have a chance to get up to the number three seed.
True.
And so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get touches. The offensive line is doing a great job. Offensive coordinator is doing a great job of calling plays. So I'm going to get carries. My job is to, how many times they hand me the football, is to run the football and try to get positive yards. Mm-hmm. And at the end of these three games, if I'm in the lead and have the most rushing yards, I'm happy. Mm. But we would have won the NFC East, possibly gotten the third seed. All the team goals that we have set for ourselves, and even some that we set forth, now takes place once we get to the playoffs. Mm. Now everybody's like, man, Zeke is really matured. Zeke, man, you see Zeke? Hmm. Put the team goals first. Hmm. That's what quarterbacks do. That's the way you play this game, because it's not always about being a good player or a great player. Mm-hmm. It's about playing a game and putting out a vibe that the most important thing, even though you might be lying through your teeth, the most important thing is team success. Yeah, I just want to win. Mm. If we can win these last three, we're going to be NFC East champs. Mm. We get a chance to get the number three seed. And, hey, but here's something you need to concern yourself with, Skip. Zeke has 333 touches this season. That's 40 more than Todd Gurley.
Yep.
Now,
40 more than anybody in the whole league.
And Gurley is second. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. Now, what we know, Skip, when you start getting to that 400 threshold, that's normally a point of no return.
Yep.
And we've seen very few guys be able to come back from that.
Yep.
So the question is, okay, you say if they win this game, they're going to be NFC East champs. Do you rest Zeke down the stretch? Because that was a lot of thinking in Mike's situation. Terrell, 1998.
Mike Shanahan. Terrell Davis. Mm-hmm.
We could have gotten TD the record. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of games in the first, he played the first half, didn't play the second half, because Mike thinking was, yes, I can get you the record, but at what cost to the team's success? Mm-hmm. So the question is that they're going to have to ask him, Zeke needs to ask himself, yes, I can lead the league in rushing, but I'd rather be fresh for this playoff push. Mm-hmm. And those extra carries that I got in the regular season, now you can put those on my plate in the playoffs. And now I could possibly drive and help this team get to our ultimate goal, and that's playing in first Sunday in February in the Mercedes-Benz Dome in Atlanta. Mm. So I just wish he could have phrased it. The most important thing is team success. Mm. And at the end of the regular season, if I have the yardage and I win that award, yes, it would be neat.
Yep.
So the many Cowboy fans watching this show right now see right through your act.
What?
We know what you're trying
what
to do to
this?
Us. We
what?
Know.
What I'm trying
we
to do.
We get it. We're smarter than this.
What?
You're trying to plant seeds of dissension in the Cowboy locker room. You're trying to plant seeds of resentment where others on the team will resent the fact that Zeke is talking about Zeke instead of the team.
No.
Am I right?
No.
And usually I would be with you in your opinion about this. Usually. But I'm here to tell you that nobody in that Cowboy locker room considers Ezekiel Elliott a me-first player. Nobody thinks of him as a prima donna. Nobody thinks of him as unto himself, somewhere above the team. Nobody thinks that in that locker room. I've never heard a hint of doubt about Zeke in that locker room, because they all realize that when he wants to win the rushing title, what's good for Zeke is not good for the team. It's great for the team. And I'm going to get to your touches in just a minute, because that's very valid what you brought up, and I wanted to get – that's the deeper issue going on here. But nobody on that team sacrifices his body more than this guy does.
Right.
Nobody runs harder every single snap than this guy. And obviously he's catching a bunch of balls and having to run with it also. Mm-hmm. Nobody has, like, this is the greatest body lean in a running back I have ever seen. Does he not go north and south as hard as he can go?
He does.
And on third and short or fourth and short, does anybody try to run through a brick wall any harder than this guy does, than 21? Yeah. Will he not wriggle and squirm for every little inch and ounce to get the first down? Yeah. Again, they know what he's giving for this team.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, it frustrates me when he has a bigger run, 15 or 20 yards, and he does this. You know what's the next thing he does usually? He holds up his hand. He does this, and then he does this. Yeah. It all comes right together. Uh-huh. This, like, ah, I need a sub. And in comes Rod Smith for him, and I'm like, no, don't leave me. Don't leave me. Now you're hot. How many great running backs? Eric Dickerson, you know. Don't they just give me the ball? Give me the ball, right?
Yeah, I mean, normally it's five or six carries before the guy comes out. It's not normally one long run and then the guy comes out. But it's different now, Skip. It's different. You know how guys used to be. Guys get the ball 25, 30 times without blinking an eye. Now guys are on a pitch count, kind of like baseball players.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Baseball pitch, excuse me.
Yeah, so – To your point about, you know, do I worry about him being used up too quickly? I'm even doing bigger picture. Can he last four more years at this rate? I don't know. Seriously, his shelf life doesn't feel real long to me.
Well,
this isn't Emmitt Smith. Emmitt was a master at avoiding contact.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And for Zeke, Zeke runs towards contact.
He does.
He has more Adrian Peterson than Emmitt Smith.
Totally agree. Scary. But remember, I thought he had a chance because I thought this year was going to be all about 21 because there's nobody to throw to.
Right.
And unfortunately, because there was nobody to throw to, defense has said it's all about stopping 21.
Absolutely.
And they did that because in those first few games, at that opener at Carolina, he had 69 yards, and then he had 54 at the Texans, 33 at Washington, only 61 in that debacle against the Titans. So his yards were low for the first sort of half of the season.
Right.
All of a sudden, he caught fire as they caught fire. Right. And as you say, that goes hand in hand, right?
Yep.
So to me, you know, I thought he had a shot. What was Eric's record? 21-05.
Right.
I thought this was going to be the year. And then Travis Frederick went down, and then they opted to start the kid at left guard, Connor Williams, which is a terrible idea.
Now he's a right guard.
Well, yeah, now he's a right guard. So maybe Zach Martin will try to play at Indy. We don't know. But the point is, he got off to such a slow start, and now he's back in gear.
Right.
Now he's already up to 1,500 yards, like 1,553.
Yes,
so he's still going to fall 500 yards short of Eric, probably, if you project. I'm projecting him. He's at 1,262.
Oh,
He's 1,262 now, but he could finish.
Right.
The projection would be 1,553.
Yeah.
But that's if he plays out.
Right.
And to your point, I don't know. If they win Sunday, maybe he gets shut down.
You have to ask yourself the question, Skip, is – Zeke, would you rather have another Russian title or a Lombardi behind your name?
Well, obviously, I think he's all about the Lombardi.
Yeah, but see, Skip, you just played a game. Do I think Zeke is selfish? No. I think he understands that in order for them to have the success that they're having,
I got you.
He needs to run.
That's the politically correct answer.
Right. That's why I just played a game.
But is Ezekiel Elliott not incredibly honest every interview? Because he reflects for a second when he hears a question he thinks. You can just see his mind working, and then he's like, well, sure. Yeah, I'd like to win a rushing title. You know he would like to.
Of course,
right?
Yes.
And I don't think anybody in that locker room will hold it against him for just acknowledging, if you get asked the question. He didn't volunteer it. He didn't say, my mission this year is to win another rushing title.
No. Right? I don't believe that is. I mean, I think his job is to go out there and show that he's the best back in football. And normally, a lot of times, the guy that leads the league in rushing, majority of the time, gets considered as being the best running back. He believes he's the best running back in all of football. In order for them to have the success, it's no coincidence that they took off. Amari Cooper comes in. Now they lift that safety up out of the box because he has to go and have to worry about Amari Cooper. Now that's the one less guy, a tackler, that Zeke has to worry about. Yep. And now he's 115, 124, 150, 130. Yeah. And that's what you're starting to see. So my thing is, I want guys, whatever your goals are, I want you to achieve them because I know you're going to put the work in to make sure you get them.
Yeah.
As long as they don't interfere with the team goals. Yeah. And I don't believe they are. But I'm just saying sometimes, just be politically, you know, I'm not.
But
man,
I want people to understand that, to your point about all those touches, 40 more than the next guy, Todd Gurley. It happened because Scott Linehan finally decided, okay, if you're going to put 8 in the box, I'm going to fake it to Zeke, and he's just going to weave into the middle of the field and turn around, and then we'll throw it to him.
Right.
And that's how they beat the system, right?
Yeah.
We'll just flip it over the middle. How many times you see him just sit down in a zone and catch a 5-yard pass and run for 9 yards?
Or catch it in the flat. Yeah. And there's only been a handful of guys that've had 40 touches. I think Le'Veon Bell a couple of years ago. There have only like 3 or 4 guys skipped since 2010.
In a game that's had 40 touches against Philadelphia.
That's, man, you start getting to that point. Sean Alexander, and you remember Larry Johnson.
Yeah.
He had those 400 back-to-back. He was never safe. Jump, fell off a cliff.
Coach Herm he pretty much used him up that one year in Kansas City.
So the thing is, be careful. But here's the thing. For a running back, Skip, he's going to be his best between the ages of what, 20, 26?
Yep. Unless you're Emmitt Smith.
This is the prime.
But here's the thing, though, Skip. Emmitt wasn't taking no contact
That's what I'm saying. He ducked and dodged.
Hey, Emmitt was glancing here and glancing there and throw that blink on, get on up out of bounds. Live to see another day.
I've never seen anybody be able to avoid contact the way Emmitt Smith did.
And plus, Emmitt says, I'm going to play more than 10 years. I'm going to play 13, 14 years at the running back position with his style. Now, you know, Marcus played a number of years, but Marcus was slithery. He was not taking any contact, but he wasn't built like Emmitt. Emmitt made like, oh, I'm not taking no. What?
Emmitt was like 205.
Yes. Mm. Emmitt was like, I'm in the NFL. I'm tough enough. Yeah. I don't need to try to run over a defensive lineman or linebacker to prove to you how tough I am. Because all that does, that collision, that's another 5 carries is take it out of my body.
Well, and Emmitt's best friend was the sideline.
Oh, yeah.
He loved to run out of bounds.
Oh, I'll blame. Hey.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to Sunday.
Yeah, this is a big
Dallas.
One.
Oh, Andrew Luck.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like a must win, but it's.
But it could. I mean,
whatever, Skip.
Yeah, it's not fun a must on Monday. If
you
win,
the biggest front runner. You see how he gets you? Oh, it's not a must win, but you know.
Well, it's not. You know what?
You make me sick.
Would you like to bet on Sunday? You like to bet? You want 2 cases. I'll take the 3-point spread right now for two cases.
No.
Well, you said you'll only do 2 cases, so if you want 2,
straight up.
I'll do 1 straight up. 2 with 3. Mm-mm. 2 with the minus.
Skip, y'all the hottest team in football. Y'all the hottest team in football.
No, Andrew Luck's the hottest quarterback.
We got Dak threw for 455. Amari Cooper got
not so sure about that.
Really? Dak threw for 455? The guy who can't throw? No mercy.
Hey guys, Jenny Taft here. There is a buzzy gift on everyone's list this year. It's something they'll use twice every day, was featured on Oprah's O List, and it's perfect for everyone with a mouth. This it gift is Quip, an electric toothbrush designed to make brushing better. What makes Quip the ideal option? Well, Quip toothbrushes use sonic vibrations that are gentle enough for sensitive gums and teeth. They come with a built-in 2-minute timer. It pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when it's time to switch sides. Guys, I have it. It's really awesome. And my travel schedule is packed. And the last thing I want to do, I don't want to lug around a bulky electric toothbrush. So with the slim design and a travel-ready holder, my Quip makes it easy to keep my teeth looking and feeling their best no matter where I am. That's why I love Quip and why they have over 5,000 verified 5-star reviews. Quip looks like a big-ticket tech gift with a stocking stuffer price starting at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/undisputed right now, you can get your first refill pack for free with a Quip electric toothbrush. But you don't have to tell your giftee that. That is your first refill pack free at getquip.com/undisputed. Now, back to the show. No mercy.
Tom Brady and the Patriots have a huge matchup against the Steelers on Sunday. New England is 9-4, and Brady has 23 touchdown passes, but he hasn't been the typical Brady we've seen in the past. He's 41 years old, and Hall of Famer Warren Moon pointed out that age is a factor in the drop in numbers. Moon said this, "The numbers are starting to show that there's a deterioration coming, especially when you talk about the blitzing, because that's something he used to really excel at. You do start to lose some of your reflexes and responses. I started to figure that out later on in my career, too. Even though your mind knows where you should be going, sometimes your body just doesn't react as fast. You're starting to see some of that with him." We are joined by Fox NFL analyst Greg Jennings. Greg, good to have you with us.
Great to be here.
Do you agree with that statement? What's your take?
I agree with the statement, but I don't agree with some of the things that he says in the statement. For me, yes, is Brady on the decline? Yes, because he is in a stratosphere that no other quarterback has ever been.
Okay.
And so are we starting to see him at a flight level, at an altitude where other quarterbacks have now ascended to? Of course. But when you start to look at his numbers, and everybody's talking about these numbers declining, I'm trying to see, Skip, where? Where are they
now,
declining?
I don't know. Let's ask Shannon Sharp.
Normally 19th in touchdown passes, that's a decline. Right?
Okay. For Tom Brady, this is the norm. This is the norm. When you look at 3,700 passing yards right now, he's going to be over 4,000 passing yards when the season is over.
4,000 passing yards, nothing.
It's not, but he's never been a Drew Brees where he's 5,000 high fours. That's never really been him. He's had those outlier years, but he's 32, 35 touchdowns.
He's going to reach that number this year?
He won't reach that number, but he'll get close. He'll get somewhere around 20, 28 to 29. He'll get there. But this QBR, all of that is affected by the amount of touchdowns to interception ratio. He doesn't throw interceptions. He has 8. He has 2 outlier years where he threw 2 and 4. I mean,
when was the last time he threw 8 in a season? Now, he got 8 right
last
now.
Last year.
Yeah, 7.
He had 8. He had 8 last year.
He got 8 right now.
He got eight right. Go. I mean, so you telling me Tom Brady, he can't go 3 games without throwing
interceptions? No. Go ahead. Make your point.
I think there is a decline. When I watch Tom Brady and I hear everybody talking about this decline, we all have to try to look and see, okay, what am I going to look for to see where the decline is? Ah, yes, there's a decline in the third down percentage. Yes, he's older. He's going to get hit. He's going to try to get the ball out more. For me, the decline is when I see his arm strength and when typically what quarterbacks do, when they start losing that ability to drive, which is what a lot of these guys on this panel in this conversation talked about, they start to anticipate more. I see Tom Brady throwing a little sooner. The ball isn't flying and floating the way it once did. But he's mentally strong enough to where he can overcome those things. And he's better than every quarterback within his division. So the decline is so minimal compared to everybody else. It's like, come on. When Brett had his decline, it was just boom. It was a drop off. Brady is controlling the decline. I don't think he's going to avoid it. He knows that, but he's still performing at a high level. Mm.
At least that was objectively negative, right?
Let me ask you a question. Do you think Tom Brady deserves to be a representative at the Pro Bowl quarterback?
In the AFC?
Yeah.
Pat Mahomes, Phillip Rivers, Andrew Luck.
No. Okay. No, I don't.
Okay. Okay, that's all I want to do. That's objective, right?
But does that mean that there's a decline? I mean, those guys have elevated their level of play.
You want to go? Go ahead. Well, you over there chomping at the bit.
I got a question for the Hall of Famer sitting across from me. Greg just talked about declining numbers. So should Aaron Rodgers think about hanging it up? Because he's having a really sorry season by his standards, by his GOAT standards. Serious. I look at his numbers, and they are all in serious decline, like plummeting decline, because he's 19th in QBR. He's 28th in completion percentage. Do you think he's washed up at age 34? Mm-mm. I don't. I just don't. He's had
34
some
and 41, Skip. Yep. Is there a difference between ages 41 and 34? I just want to know.
Okay. So here's my problem with this article, and I'm going to say it again. Again, I know Warren, known him forever. since way back to, I interviewed Warren Moon when he was the quarterback of the Washington Huskies. That's how far back I go with him. And I covered games that he played in Seattle for the Huskies, not for the Seahawks. And I love Warren Moon, but I take issue with his approach to this because I do think he's a little threatened by the fact that Tom Brady is threatening to eclipse Warren's long-deserved sort of title as the quarterback who lived the longest, because he was starting games at age 42. He wasn't great when he was 42. He's actually great when he was 41 because he made the Pro Bowl when he started in Seattle at 41. And he actually started one game for the Kansas City Chiefs at age 44. And Tom Brady says he's going to play and play at a high level till he's 45. That's what he has vowed. He has not backed off that. And I don't see any decline because we pulled out all the quotes from Warren Moon, and again, they have credibility because he did this at the highest level late in his career. But there are 9 other people quoted in this article, and they all raved about Tom Brady at age 41. And if I just throw out a few of them, my friend Darren Woodson at ESPN, he says, great Dallas Cowboy. I don't think there's any fall off. I don't see any decline. Joe Theismann, a guy I worked with at ESPN for years, I don't see the arm getting weaker. I don't see the release getting weaker. I don't see any movement in the pocket getting any slower. I see decisiveness. I see fire. Then we go to Drew Bledsoe, who lost his job to Tom Brady. He's better now than he was 5 years ago. That's a mouthful. And we get to Matt Hasselbeck, not a great quarterback, but a smart guy. We see him on ESPN, obviously. And he's saying, if you look at a picture of Tom now versus a picture of him in his rookie year, he looks younger now than he did when he started. And he went into his workout routine. He's probably quicker and more agile now than he's ever been. Wow. Okay, so everybody else is raving except for Warren Moon, and you have fixated on Warren Moon
because he's making
your case.
No. But,
right?
But when have we ever known, Greg, and you played this game and you know, when have you ever seen a quarterback, former quarterback, criticize a current great quarterback player? We don't see that. That's one thing. That fraternity never steps outside. We've seen running backs offer harsh critiques of other running backs. Mm. DBs, wide receivers, linemen.
Is it possible Warren has some personal issue?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, is it? I'm just throwing it out there. No, is it possible?
No, because what you're trying to do, you're trying to contaminate the water.
I'm not trying to contaminate.
No. Because
I mean, does it run deeper than quarterback to quarterback? I don't know.
This is what happens. Because anytime you offer a critique of a Tom Brady, you're a hater. You're jealous. Why can't I offer a critique of what I see?
Okay. Offer it.
I did.
Okay.
Warren Moon offered it.
Yeah.
It's okay. Skip, you want to see people, it's okay. With age, there is some slippage, not just in professional athletes, in normal day-to-day life. I still have a photographic memory, but my memory is not as sharp as it once was. I'm getting older. I'm 50 now. I'm not 31. Tom Brady is not 27. Tom Brady is not 35. He's 41. And for anyone to say Tom Brady is playing at the same level at 41 he played at 35, they're lying. That's not happening. And what you can do, we see it with Adrian Peterson. You can have, when you're a great player, you can summon it up. They also mentioned Tom gets up for these young guns. He goes against Aaron Rodgers. He goes against Pat Mahomes. He goes against these guys that he feels, okay, you talking about him, let me show you. What about Mariota? What about Detroit quarterback, Matthew Stafford? What about Blake Bortles? See, what they did, they look at this game right here, he just played, and he was phenomenal. But the previous 4 games, he had 4 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. Nobody offered a critique. You see what they do, Greg?
Shannon Sharp, let me ask you what they do about these games. I go back to 05. Tom Brady stunk it up in a playoff game at Denver, your old stadium, against Jake Plummer. He threw 2 interceptions and was just horrendous for 13 points and lost. And people are saying, he reverted to the 6th rounder. See, here he goes. And then what happened in the Ray Rice game at Foxborough, a big playoff game? Tom Brady put up 14 points and lost 33-14 with 3 interceptions in that game and had a QBR of 11 on a scale of 0 to 100 and then followed up the next year losing to Mark Sanchez at home, stunk it up against Rex Ryan's defense with a QBR 16. That was the point when people are saying, he's losing it.
No.
And then what about that 2014 game? We got a big game at Arrowhead tonight. Mm-hmm. Remember, it was an early season game at Arrowhead, and they got beaten 41-14, and Brady stunk it up that night. And everybody said, see, there it is.
No.
Father Time caught him and passed him.
No. You know what they did? They did what you do. Mm. Coach Belichick, you mean to tell me you Ray Rice had a rookie quarterback hung 35 on you? Mm. You make excuses. Mm. Because you see what happens, Greg, is this is what they do. And I've learned to do, and I pick Skip Bayless apart. Mm. When Tom Brady plays good, did you see what he did in those fourth quarters in overtime? But when they lose, the team, Coach Belichick, that defense is terrible.
Okay, well let me ask you this. Why did this article come out after Tom Brady played his best game of the year at Miami against the team that has his number and their number? They lost 7 of 9 at Miami, and he goes down there and throws for 358, 3 touchdowns and no interceptions, and leads them to what looked like was the clinching field goal when they could have taken it home, but they ran it just to eat the clock.
I think this goes to my point. When we critique a Tom Brady, we try to make sure we analyze something that stands out and makes him or humanizes him and puts him in the category of all the other quarterbacks. Before the half, when he makes that mistake. And
terrible
he,
mistake.
He stands up and owns it and says, look, I had a brain fart. Yep, I totally forgot. I thought we had a timeout.
Yep.
That would age. Sometimes you put your keys in your refrigerator. Man. You're not good where the keys don't belong in no refrigerator.
Shannon Sharp, how many times did your teenagers, as you raised them, just have a brain, you know what?
Yeah,
right? Yeah. Right? But you know what I do? I put that belt on me and jar their memory. Take that.
You better not admit that publicly.
No, but I'm saying, no, they grown now. I ain't got no teenagers. Mm-hmm. They grown. They almost 30. But anyway, Skip Bayless, you see what you do. Why you always do that?
I hate Brady hate because it's not fair. This is greatness that you have the privilege of watching every Sunday.
So,
it's never celebrated. So, it's always picked to pieces. So am I right?
Can we not offer critiques of greats? Name the great that's never been picked apart.
Have you ever said a good thing about Tom?
Yes!
I don't know it.
Skip, we can't. Look. The fact of the matter is that when we want to talk about his performance in a game, we'll talk about that.
Yep.
But when we offer critique, we just can't offer a critique about a game because they're talking about Tom Brady currently at age 41. I'm just not looking at the Miami game. I'm also looking at the Tennessee game. I'm also looking at the Jacksonville game.
He has bad games.
So you believe there's zero decline right now?
I don't see any. But I'm going to remind you, did he have Gronk all year? He did not. Is Gronk himself, is he not a
shell? But you said he would.
Wait a second. Did he have a number one receiver? He didn't have Edelman for 4 games, and it took Julian 5 more games to get his legs underneath him. Did he have Josh Gordon early? You called him the piano man because he runs with a piano in his back. So who's he throwing to?
Hold on. When he had those all-time great fourth quarter and overtime against Atlanta, can you tell the people at home where was Gronk?
Well, thank you.
You see, Greg, now you see.
You know, that made it even greater. He came from 28 to 3 down, and guess who he's throwing to?
Now there might be some slippage because he doesn't have Gronk.
He's throwing to a miniature running back named James White. That's his go-to receiver to come back against Atlanta. Wow.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers.
Now that's greatness.
Oh, so now you want to compliment him for throwing to James White when I've been throwing to Ty Montgomery for 5 years. Mm. But you didn't compliment me. Mm. Oh, you see, Greg, you see?
I love it.
Julian Edelman. Was Julian there last year when he went to the Super Bowl?
How'd he do it? I don't know. 505.
How many Super Bowls?
He lost Brandon Cooks early in that game to a concussion. How did he do it?
How many Super
Going
Bowls
to Chris Hogan, 7-11.
The man got 5 Super Bowls and won 3 of them without a Gronk and Edelman. But now, all of a sudden, he's not playing as well as we expect him to. Well, he didn't have Gronk. Mm-hmm. He didn't have Edelman and the piano man.
Well, he didn't have anybody. He's got to have somebody.
We're going to leave it for now, Greg.
You ought to be sharing.
Thank you
for trying
to help with this discussion. No mercy.
Hey, guys. Jenny Taft here. More of the Undisputed podcast is on the way. But first, a quick word from one of our sponsors. Send the holiday gift that families across America have loved for over 100 years. Omaha Steaks. The perfect gift for families that love premium quality steaks, hamburgers, pork chops, and much more. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving an amazing limited time offer to Undisputed listeners when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter code JINGLE into the search bar. are, you will get 74% off the Omaha Steaks Family Gift Package. Originally $195, now only $49.99. Order now and you'll get 4 hand-cut aged to tenderness top sirloin steaks, 2 savory premium pork chops, 4 chicken fried steaks, 4 Omaha Steaks burgers, 4 snappy kielbasa sausages, all beef meatballs, 4 perfectly browned potatoes au gratin, 4 made from scratch caramel apple tartlets, plus get 4 more burgers for free. Again, get this limited time package for only $49.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com, type jingle into the search bar, and add the family gift package to your cart. Don't wait. This offer ends soon. Go to omahasteaks.com, type jingle into the search bar to send the Omaha Steaks family gift package today. All right, get to eating. Now back to the show. No mercy.
There appears to be a new era in Baltimore. Lamar Jackson was named the starting quarterback for the Ravens against the Bucs on Sunday. John Harbaugh made the decision despite the fact Joe Flacco is healthy enough to play. But Lamar has gone 3-1 as the starter. And yesterday, Harbaugh talked about his decision. Let's hear it.
Every decision is based on what makes us the strongest possible team we can be. And that's whether it's quarterback or defensive line or whatever, that's the bottom line. That's what it boils down to. That's how we feel about this decision, and we're rolling. Joe's a pro. He's got class. He's got complete respect in the locker room. And listen, there's a very good chance we're going to need Joe Flacco and any other player that's in that role, a backup role, to win us a game. That's how everybody's a starter in the National Football League.
All right, Skip. Are you surprised Harbaugh didn't go back to Flacco?
I am a little surprised, but I don't know if, in fact, this was just John Harbaugh's decision. I don't know if Ozzie Newsome had a little input here. Maybe the owner, Steve Bisciotti, had a little input here. I don't know that for a fact. But if it is just John's decision, I'm proud of him because it's significant that he cut bait with Joe Flacco, at least for right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say this again. I don't think this young man, Lamar Jackson, is getting nearly enough credit for what he's done in these 4 games. They were in position to pull off, the upset of the year, maybe? One of the top ones, right? They're up 24-17. He put 24 points on the board at Arrowhead, going sort of mano a mano with Patrick Mahomes. And it's 4th and 9 with 1:29 left, and you know the rest of the story. He rolls right, barely escapes the pressure coming behind him, and flings it into the middle of the field to Tyreek Hill. And that was basically the football game. But they were in position for him to go 4-for-4, to be 4-0 as a starter. I said before the year, I don't care what you tell me about Joe Flacco in the playoffs. I can show you year after year since they gave him all that made him the highest paid player in pro football after his Super Bowl. Can't take that away from him. He has never lived up to that in the regular season. And they have routinely missed the playoffs because of Joe, as I call him, Fluco. Mm-hmm. So I said, change the energy, change the vibe. Is Lamar Jackson in Flacco's league throwing the football? No, he's not. Is he the prettiest of throwers? No, he's not. I just love what this young man is made of. I love his poise. I love his confidence. I love that Marty Morningwick said, okay, let's do what he can do best.
Correct.
And they let him do what he does.
Yes.
And he has played at a supremely high level, especially for a rookie thrown into the fire with a really good defense and a potential playoff spot hanging in the balance. I think they should have gone with him from day one, and I think they'd be a little better off than they are now. They're 7-6. They're hanging on to the 6th seed. They got a game against Tampa, which I think they could win.
True.
They got to go to the Chargers on a Saturday night. That's going to be tough, but I thought Kansas City was going to be tough, and then they finish with the Browns. This kid can take them home. Again, I'm not saying he's...
You mean the Bengals? Haven't they already beat the Browns?
Browns the last game.
Final game of the season.
I'm thinking same. Yes. The Browns beat them in Cleveland.
So the odds are, could they win their 2 home games? Sure, they could. To finish 9-7, would that get them in? Maybe. It depends how it all shakes out. But again, they could still win the division. They're only half game behind the division.
Right.
So I want Lamar Jackson to get more credit for what he's pulling off here.
Skip, I'm not surprised. Because I think he's done a great job. And I said it before, even though they have a chance to still win this division, I think you should stick with Lamar Jackson because he's the future. I believe at the end of the season, the Ravens will move on from Joe Flacco. Hmm. So if that's the case, why not give him valuable playing time? Because he'll gain more in this type of environment as opposed to playing, Skip, when there's nothing on the line. He mm-hmm. needs to know to value the football. He needs mm-hmm. to know to value possessions. And this gives him that opportunity. Credit to Marty Morningwig because, you know, he had Michael Vick. But he's tailored this offense mm-hmm. to fit this young man's skill set. Mm-hmm. Skip, he's not proficient, not nearly proficient enough to win long-term throwing the football. But until he gets up to speed throwing the football, let's do some of this zone read. Yep. Let's run some quarterback power. Let's make him feel comfortable and when, you know, get him in situations where it's 3rd and 3 to 4. Yep. Well, we might run it. Then mm-hmm. we're going to get man-to-man coverage. Mm-hmm. He's throwing against man-to-man coverage.
Yep.
So I love what he's doing. Skip, when Joe Flacco went down, he was leading the league in pass attempts. But he was 19th in touchdown passes. Mm-hmm. So he was doing a whole lot of throwing before a whole lot of nothing. Mm. So what are you getting out of this?
And they'd missed the playoffs, what, 4 of the last 5 years?
So at some point in time, they had to make an honest decision.
Yep.
And they needed to be real with themselves. There's a reason why they selected Lamar Jackson. Normally, right. teams are not selecting quarterbacks in the first round, Skip, if they're happy with the quarterback they have.
Even at the back end of the
Even at the back yeah. end. Mm-hmm. Because even at the back end, that means mm-hmm. some point in time, he's going to be in the front end.
That is correct.
He's going to be in the front of the line. Right now, he at the back of the line. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But he got an opportunity to play, and he brings a dynamic to this offense. Now you see where they are. They can run the football as well as anybody. Mm-hmm. And then they throw it in they put him in situations that when he does throw the football, it's very favorable mm-hmm. to the throws that he can make. So I'm not surprised. They should stick with this guy. And like I said, who knows? They win this game, Skip. Mm-hmm. There's a chance. And what happens in New England, they could be tied for the division.
Yep, you got it. So this defense, the Ravens, is still number one in pro football in points allowed. And I know Terrell Suggs very well. Mm-hmm. I've had many battles with him. He has defended Joe Flacco to the death. This is going way back 4, 5, 6 years ago, mm-hmm. and he should have defended him. But if I know my man T. Sizzle and how he is a prominent voice in that locker room, if he didn't believe this kid couldn't do it, if he believed he couldn't do it, I should say,
right.
then he would have made it very clear the defense doesn't believe yet in Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. The defense wants Joe Flacco back. And I'm pretty sure this defense is believing in this kid.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I definitely believe they believe in him. But the thing is that I love most about this defense and this and having been there when this defense really started to take off in 2000, Skip,
yep.
they play to a standard. So it doesn't matter what you do on that side of the ball because they look at it, they were like, well, even if the offense can't score, if you don't score, you don't win.
Yeah.
So we'll turn you over, we'll put our offense on a short field, and that's what they can do. They can still take the ball away. That defense can take the ball away. They can put pressure on your quarterback. As you see, they had an opportunity to get one from Mahomes, and somehow they were able to get the ball back I don't know how they were able to get that ball back. Mm-hmm. But they did. And so I love this decision by the Ravens. I think it's the right decision, and it gives Lamar Jackson valuable, valuable experience moving forward.
Well, again, I don't think they're looking at just that. I think they want to make a run here.
Well, they believe. Well, clearly they believe that right now, Lamar Jackson gives them a better chance to win.
There you go.
They're in a position.
I think you'd have given them a better chance from day one. Ugh. I wish I could have seen that happen.
Flacco, the highest paid backup in the NFL now.
Well,
a lot of money.
I'm sure some team will jump on him next year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Know? Yeah. No
mercy. Now, that is a picture of Phil Jackson at Lakers practice yesterday, hanging out with Kurt Rambis. Jackson coached the Lakers to 5 NBA titles, including 2 with current head coach Luke Walton. There's no word if Phil ran into LeBron. And remember, Jackson made news back in a 2016 interview when he called LeBron's business partners a, quote, posse. So, Shannon, should LeBron have a problem with Phil being at the facility?
He and Jeannie Buss should have a problem with Phil being at the facility. Mm. That's why he went outside. He wanted to make sure he didn't run into LeBron. Huh. LeBron probably would have lumped him up.
Maybe.
Yeah, and Jeannie want to know. Jeannie probably fired everybody who let him in the building. He's
you
no
think
longer.
So?
Yeah, he's no longer my boyfriend. That. I don't want him around.
Well,
that's what Jeannie
I think they're still friends, though.
We can be friendly, but we can't be friends.
By the way, she did post a picture like.
Yeah, and she didn't look like she wanted to be there. You saw that picture? But it's like they cut and spliced it. Like she didn't want to be there. She was like mean mugging.
Well, I know, but she went out to dinner with him and the Rambuses.
She was forced to.
Yeah.
She was. I don't think she was forced.
I don't.
Look, sounds like they're still friendly.
Yes.
Right?
You know what? The thing is, Skip, is that maybe he came when LeBron wasn't there, or maybe he, well, maybe he came before LeBron got there, or maybe he came after LeBron had left.
Maybe.
Maybe. But I think, you know how you're in the store sometimes and you see somebody you don't really want to see, you see them, and you like, you find all the stuff that you're looking for, you put stuff in your buggy you know good well you don't need. Well, just the key from making eye contact with them or talking to them, you end up taking some stuff home you don't need.
That's true.
I can assure you all of a sudden LeBron James went back in there and got a pair of shoes that he knew he didn't need if this was the case.
That's true.
There's no love lost between LeBron and Phil.
Yeah.
We know that LeBron deemed that the remarks that Phil made were unnecessary. He also feel that there were some comments made by Phil that should have been kept private. Pat Riley shared something with Phil.
He did.
That LeBron had done, and it became public. LeBron didn't like that. LeBron Phil is a type of person that if whatever transpired, be it good or bad, if it happened behind closed doors, let's keep it there.
Yep.
Phil brought it to light. So there's no love lost, and I believe LeBron would go out of his way. Now, if there's a situation, Skip, we're in a small, narrow hallway, sure, I'm sure LeBron's going to be, hey, how you doing, Phil, and keep it moving. But there's no love lost between these two. I don't understand why Phil, and the article said that he stops by periodically. Why? You're no longer an employee. We don't want you here. I've been saying this. I'm a Laker. I'm on the Lakers now. And, Jeannie, you should do something about that.
So, I am with you times 10 on this one. This is just wrong. He does not belong there. The most important person in this franchise is now your man, LeBron James. And this is an affront to LeBron that he shows his face within the confines of that building that now basically belongs to LeBron. I know Magic is overseeing.
Right.
And I realize that Kurt Rambis, who's now an advisor to Magic and sort of just, you know, he's sort of returned to the franchise. He and Phil are very close, and that's fine, but they can see each other for dinner or lunch wherever
off
they want
campus.
To go. It's easy to do.
Yeah, all these restaurants in L.A.
And remember, Luke and Phil remain very close.
Correct.
And Luke said yesterday he texts constantly and asks him for advice. Yet, it was telling to me that when the reporters said, guess who's here, Luke didn't know about
like
it. So if they text constantly, why wouldn't Phil say, hey, I'll see you after practice or I'll see you at the end of practice or
right.
whatever. It sounds like he kind of slipped in the
That's
side door, right? So what he wrote about LeBron, that's a bridge burner.
Yeah.
That's you can't come back from that one. And I've been around Phil a good deal, enough to know. He will, when he was a coach, he led the league in smugness and arrogance, and he had a right to.
Right, he went 11 really, championships as a coach.
You coach
at least three of the top 10 players of all time.
That is a fact.
I mean, you ain't getting a whole lot of credit.
Nope, I agree. But Phil Jackson, to me, has never been one to apologize that he stepped out of bounds. He misspoke about the posse comment because he really stepped in that one.
Right.
That's so wrong. That's as wrong as you can get because that group around LeBron, that's as far from a quote-unquote posse. Those aren't hanger-ons.
Right.
Those guys are dynamos in and of their own right, each of them. Maverick Carter is a domino, I mean a dynamo in Wall Street and Hollywood.
LeBron deserves credit for empowering them. He didn't give them anything.
He did.
He empowered them to become what they became.
And they have all done right by him.
Yeah, look, there have been things that over the years, when you play as long as I've had, and you have the contacts that I have, there are things that get said that you hear. That you could say on air, and it would make a person look very, very bad.
Sure.
What Pat Riley, first of all, Pat Riley should have never said it. But I can assure you he said it, not thinking Phil would go say it publicly. And then once Phil made it publicly, you know how that's going to make LeBron look. Because people already think that he throws his weight around. And be like, yes, superstars have always had that kind of leverage in the NBA. Now, whether or not they will, they hammer of power mm-hmm. like LeBron does is a different thing. Mm-hmm.
But again, LeBron doesn't surround himself with negative people.
No.
With people who drag him down.
No.
They build him up.
Right.
They're strong. They're, right. They empower him to yeah. be LeBron
right.
James, right? So if they want to ride on the team plane, you have to give in to that. And it's part and parcel of LeBron James.
And also, Skip, what has made LeBron so great he can only focus on basketball is because he have Maverick, because he
that
have Rich Paul, because he have Randy Mills.
And two, by
Savannah
by the way,
holding down the home front.
That is true.
Bryce, Bronny, Zahar, I got this, baby. Handle that court. We got this. And LeBron is heaping praise on him. Hey, my job is easy for the simple fact I got guys that I trust to the umpteenth degree.
Yeah.
That they're going to do what's in the best interest of Team James.
And I am amazed because I continue to say LeBron is also chasing Michael B. Jordan. Mm-hmm. I don't know how Maverick props all this up, but he does.
Right.
He allows LeBron to juggle all the balls, but the big ball is the basketball. But he doesn't drop the basketball.
No. No. Right. And the thing is, Skip, is that Mav has to be, you can't bring everything mm-hmm. to him. He has to know LeBron well enough
yep.
that I can bring this to him and there's a good chance. Because, you know, Magic did an interview. It's like, okay, when I was on this level, I could do deals on this level.
Yep.
So now that I'm up here, you need to bring me deals up here. Well, LeBron is up there. So Maverick is like, Rich but and Randy controls the day-to-day.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, Savannah handles the home front. That's a lot, Skip,
mm-hmm.
but his mind is free. So that's why he only worked like, hey, this game of basketball is most important.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill coming in and try to, you know what I'm saying? You know, party when you're growing up. Out, and I know you're in the Midwest, they handle parties like this. But Skip, we used to have these parties.
How do you know that?
What do you mean?
We had these parties.
You don't know.
No, Jen ain't doing that. Mm-hmm. But we had these parties, the music be going real good, and then somebody come in there and bump the turntable. Because we had the turntable put on milk crates. You know, mm-hmm. somebody come in there and bump the music.
Mm.
Move vibe is good. Won six in the last seven games, and that cold Black Cat Phil show up. Mm. Stop the music.
Yep.
I don't even want to dance no more.
Buzzkill?
Yeah, I don't even want to do anything
Fair
anymore.
Enough.
Remember he better not show back up.
Once upon a time, Phil skewered Kobe in a book, and
yes.
then somehow they made peace and
yes.
won together after that.
Yes.
I think Phil has it in his head that he can somehow make peace with LeBron and become part of the Lakers again. And if I know LeBron and you know
he
LeBron.
He might skip. You know what?
I don't know.
Even what Phil said was not worth what Dan Gilbert said. And he went back to Dan Gilbert. So you know what? The man got a big heart. LeBron James got a big old heart, Skip. He got a big heart. Big heart.
I know, but I'm going to lose respect for LeBron if he doesn't stand strong.
I mean, you know what, Skip? I won't lose respect for him. Because you know what? You can sometimes, see, you can allow people to hold your feelings hostage, Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get out of bondage if you holding this resentment, harboring this. You know what I would do, Skip Bailey, if I was LeBron James? I'd walk up to him. How you doing, Phil? Thank you.
Kill him with kindness.
Yeah!
That's a good way to
do it. And then when he walk away.
And you know, the next thing you're going to see is Phil's going to be sitting behind the bench at home games.
No, he wasn't. No, LeBron said, I got to draw. No,
yep.
no,
peering
LeBron.
Over.
Peering over Luke's shoulder.
LeBron said, Jenny,
whispering
Magic, Rob, I got to draw the line.
Yeah.
You got to choose one.
Mm.
Now, one of these guys is putting up 28, 8, and 7.
Yeah.
The other guy ain't doing jack. Now, you choose one or the other.
I have a feeling that
I stay, he go.
He's not going to make this
he
a
stays,
habit.
I go.
Sounds like Phil wants to come out of retirement and coach LeBron.
No, that ain't happening.
Making his
that ain't happening.
He coached MJ, he coached Shaq and Kobe, LeBron. He's got
added to his list.
We got nothing for him. We're going to be kind. We'll be nice. We'll be presentable. We're going to always be LeBron because that's what type of people we are. We good folk.
Well, we do have the Lakers in Houston tonight. No mercy.
Hey guys, Jenny Taft here. More of the Undisputed podcast is on the way, but first, I wanted to talk to you about one of our sponsors. If you're like me, you know that navigating the stock market can be daunting. Fortunately, there's Robinhood. Robinhood is an app that makes buying and selling stocks, options, cryptos, and more simple and intuitive. With data presented in an easy-to-digest way, Robinhood is a non-intimidating method for stock market newcomers to invest with confidence. And here's the best part. Not only is Robinhood easy to use, it's all commission-free. That's right, no commission fees. Other brokerages can charge you up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood allows you to trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Even better, Robinhood is giving Undisputed listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Just sign up at undisputed.robinhood.com. That's undisputed.robinhood.com to start investing today. Now, back to the show.
No mercy. Well, the Raptors were playing without Kawhi Leonard on the road against the Warriors last night, but it didn't even matter. They blew out the defending champs by 20 to sweep the season series. Kevin Durant had 30 points for the Warriors, but Steph Curry had a season-low 10 points. The Raptors are now 7-1 this season without Kawhi in the lineup. We're joined by FS1 NBA analyst Stephen Jackson. Stephen, good to see you. How does Toronto keep doing this without Kawhi?
Well, first, a lot of people in my hometown wanted to say thank you for giving them a
shout-out. Port Arthur.
Yes, they wanted to say thanks, Gil, for a shout-out.
You're the most famous person from Port Arthur.
Janis Joplin.
No, I was going to say, it's Janis Joplin, Jimmy Johnson, but yeah. Stephen.
I'm around
awesome.
Somewhere.
I'm
around
Good
somewhere.
List.
Good company.
Way to go.
I said yesterday that Toronto is the hardest-playing team in the league. One thing about from 1 to 8 or 9, you have a lot of guys on their rosters that feel like they still have a lot to prove. Even the backup point guard, he feels like he has a lot to prove to show he belongs in this league. The young kid, OG's playing hard.
Is he?
All the guys on the team feel like they have something to prove. And I said this yesterday when we said what Golden State was going to win. I said they still have to win this game because Toronto is a confident team. They went out there and played confident. The whole Golden State starting five all was negative. They all had negatives in the plus minus. They all was negative. So that very seldom happens to this team when you have all those guys on the court together.
Right.
But like I said, when you have a team like Toronto who plays hard, have that blue-collar style of play, they have a chance every night.
You look at this team, they're long and athletic. Mm-hmm. Danny Green is not that tall, but he can play defense.
He can.
Siakam plays defense. Serge can play defense.
Yes.
You mentioned the guy OG Anunoby. Woo! I like that name, though. I think if I have another son, I'm going to name him OG.
See why? See, I stopped at OG. I couldn't say the rest of it.
I think I'm going to name him OG. Valanciunas.
Yes.
Left early, but he can protect the rim.
He did.
Greg Monroe can protect the rim. And what you have to do to be able to play this team, you got to be able to switch everything.
Right.
Because when they put you in the pick and roll, if you can't switch, you got no chance because Steph is going to be launching threes. Mm-hmm. Klay's going to be launching threes. Kevin Durant, well, you really have no – you just hope Kevin's off. Well, he was, what, 13 or 22 for 30 points. Mm-hmm. And he still was, as you mentioned, he was minus 10 to plus minus. And they have – every guy can put the ball on the floor and get to the hole.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you have to be able to do. You got to put – see, you got to force these guys to play defense just like they make you play defense. Because
right.
if you ever have a lapse, someone's going to get an uncontested three when you play in Golden State. So you make them play. Well, Toronto was making them do, Skip, you had to defend. And they, hey, Kyle Lowry's doing a great job. Hey, they pass it. Van Fleet pass it. Giving goal, Serge, dunking the ball, going down the middle. This team will be to reckon with. Now, if you notice, I ain't mentioned no Claude. The best wing defender in all of basketball. So you put him in there with y'all. He still is. Stop it, Skip. Now, you ought to be ashamed of yourself that you gonna sit up here and be mean mugging that man like that after all he's accomplished. Two-time defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
Finals MVP. Mm-hmm. Won your team a trophy.
My turn?
Yeah.
Thank you. The elephant in the room right now is number two for the Toronto Raptors, and he will always be number two to me.
Right.
And he did not play last night, nor did he play the night before. And this team blew out the Clippers, who have been riding high, blew them out on their home floor. And with no rest, flew up to Golden State and blew them out by 20 on their home floor. So this team is now 7-1 with no number two. And five of those were back-to-back games that they won. And all seven were won on the road. And the average margin of victory in those seven is 19 points. Something's going on here. They're making – I'm not saying they hate number two, but is there some resentment building? Like, well, he's not there every night.
Well,
so
you want
to
show that we're more than number two.
Like
you want to show that we're more than Kawhi. Okay.
And the main guy who's showing he's more than number two is that point guard because Kyle Lowry is playing extreme high all-star level, taking over the game with his shot and the pass.
Yeah.
Because his assists – like last night, 23-12, but I look down the seven games they've won on the road without him. You know, 15 assists, 17 assists, 12 assists. It's extraordinary basketball where he just takes over the game and controlled the game against Golden State last night.
Right.
That's hard to do. Serge Ibaka turns into Kevin Durant without number two on the floor. I've never seen anything like it. And we've seen glimpses and flashes and blips of Serge Ibaka, but not like this.
Yeah.
Where he's playing at an all-star level without number two on the floor.
But Skip,
dominating.
But that's normal. Because anytime you have a great player, a superstar player, the other guys, because he's going to get his shot, Kawhi's going to control the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the reason why they can play like this. These guys are young. These guys are 22, 23. So you can play back-to-backs.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder on a guy that's in his 30s to try to get up and do those back-to-backs.
Right,
yeah. Siakam's young. OG's young.
I don't think a Kyle is young. I think he's middle-aged, you know. Like
yeah, what, he's 31? He's probably 31,
30. He's really running this team now. If you see, like, last night, when the offense did slow down, you know what they went to? They went to Post and Steph. They gave the ball to Danny Green on the block, and he got a lot of buckets.
Yeah.
So I think they're trusting Kyle more, and he's able to run this team more, especially with Kawhi not on the court. And
make Steph play deep.
And you know what? I know DeMar DeRozan's had some nice games for the San Antonio Spurs, but when he and Kyle were 1 and 1A, it never seemed, you know, they just couldn't get over the hump, and they'd run into LeBron, and they would just genuflect. They just sort of effectively drop to their knees and say, "We're not worthy," right?
Yeah, work. Right. Well, but here's the thing, though. This is fine and good. Mm-hmm. But eventually, they're going to be measured by what they do in the playoffs because we've seen them win 59 games last year. They were the number one seed the previous couple of years.
I never saw DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry ever do this.
Me neither.
This is extraordinary.
But you
this is high level.
They're dominating right now.
But remember now, they won 59 games last year with Siakam. And a Nunabi.
Mm-hmm.
So now they have a year up under their belt. You never saw Kyle Kuzma play like he's playing right now.
That's true.
Now he have a year up under his belt, and he play alongside guy.
But obviously, if for whatever reason LeBron couldn't go one night, they wouldn't be able to do this.
No,
they wouldn't.
No, right?
But good players are supposed to make other players better.
Right. But if they had a veteran like Kyle Lowry, it might be possible. We've never seen LeBron See, Kyle Lowry is one of these point guards. Yeah, he can get his point, but he's getting everybody else involved. Kyrie is not a pass-first point guard. He's really a two-guard. And most of these point guards in today's game
are twos
masquerading as ones.
Right.
He has morphed into a passer.
Who?
Kyle Lowry. I mean,
he's
assist. Yeah, you're right about that.
He's leading. I think now he's leading the league in assists.
Yeah. Whew. So, yesterday you said, and you're probably right about this, just – hold your horses on Golden State. They're going to turn back into Golden State. Last night, they were just pathetic on their home floor.
They look bad.
Right? Like, Steph was just out of energy, out of gas. I don't know what happened.
He just got back. It's going to take him to get his lungs back.
And again, if they shoot 6-for-26 from three on their home floor, cause that just takes the crowd completely out of the game, right?
And Clay had like four or five wide open looks that went in and came out. So that'll never happen again.
Okay. So is that going to right itself? Will DeMarcus Cousins change life in Golden State? I don't know. Maybe. But I'm going to say it again. This is really good news for LeBron James and his new team because it's looking like there's some light at the end of the Western Conference tunnel that wasn't ever there before.
Yeah.
Am I right?
And he had 44-18 against the Thunder. It's called AD. That's the light of the, that's that train that's coming our way. Woo!
I'm talking about this year, right here, right now. You don't think it's opened a little bit?
It was never closed.
Okay, it's
that was you that talked about he came out here to make
that
movies.
Was you.
You said it. I told you.
You kept saying we got no shot against Golden State.
No, Skip.
You got a shot.
Yeah, I told you. You told me he was coming to make movies. The guy that he wants to pass now is not that ghost in Chicago. It's Michael B. Jordan.
Okay, I stand by that.
And now,
Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, now he got Joe.
That's a good line. Is that not good?
And now my guy been putting puss in folk. Now you want to talk about he got a chance.
I think others are putting foots in folks because Kyle Kuzma's turned into a star right before your very eyes. And Josh Hart can play in this league. He's like Fred VanVleet where he's just tough. You know, he won't back down. He's going to make clutch shots.
We got JaVale. Now, we can just keep JaVale.
Tyson brought this team
and
a lot
he
of
did.
Toughness.
That he was a whole
a lot of toughness.
Yeah. That's a big win.
But we need JaVale. JaVale challenged everything. Oh, JaVale be getting it.
Don't let Magic go get Trevor Ariza. Am I right? All of a sudden.
I mean, we have to give a call. I mean, I kind of like Caldwell Pope.
Do you?
Yeah. Over Trevor Ariza?
I said I like it.
Over Trevor Ariza.
I don't love him.
Over Trevor Ariza.
I don't love nobody but 23. You can have everybody.
Trust me, we know that.
Yeah, well,
everybody on social media, everybody in the world know that.
I mean, I like Kuzma. Kuzma is a dog.
He is a dog. He's got a dog in him.
Lance, if I can just keep Lance from stop on that showboat, Lance get the ball. He's another one, Skip. He get the ball. He got to palm it, put it behind his back like he a baseball pitcher.
Yeah.
I like, Lance, come on, bro. But you see Luke like, okay, I've seen enough of this. Come on here with Lance. Hey, yeah. Lance.
I know, but every once in a while,
he just takes
it over.
Oh, yeah.
He ain't scared, so you got to commend him.
I like your team. I do. They're much better than I thought they were going to be, and Golden State can't find itself. And I don't know if the Draymond Kevin thing is still simmering under the surface. I don't know.
Just the fact that Toronto won.
Something's not right.
Yeah.
Right.
So in other words, Kevin Durant, that situation you in might be toxic.
Mm-hmm.
The words you use.
He did.
I can't wait to come back up here when Boogie back and they roll and they beating everybody by 70. I can't wait to see what you say.
Well, if you're
right about Boogie, then that's the X factor. That's the game over factor.
You know, a lot of times it just takes one player to come and bring, just change a little bit and things turn. You got a whole bunch of Hall of Famers over there. They're going to fix it.
Okay.
There you go. Steven, good to have you.
Thanks for being here.
Giving up on what? No.
No?
Giving up. I don't know if anyone gives up around here.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again, same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. See you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.